Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis.
Hey, this is Joshua Jarvis, and I am excited to be here on the Forward Marketing Podcast. That's the number four, RD Marketing. And so today we're going to talk about something a little different than marketing, but it is still super important to your business, especially if you have an online website. So last week we talked about how to optimize your business on LinkedIn. You're probably actually going to see what we're going to talk about today affect LinkedIn because there's a lot of information on there. So last week we talked about LinkedIn, like we talked about how to optimize that to get a job, to get new clients, to become found, to grow your connections, and ultimately to build your list. So if you missed out on that, please check out last week's episode and then head over to forwardmarketing.com/podcast and go ahead and grab the freebie I created of basically how to do this in a webinar format. Goes over all the things we talked about, as well as the growth hack that I learned from Dan McGaugh that helped me grow my list to 10,000 people and basically overnight just using LinkedIn and email. So, but today we've got a little different topic. We're going to talk about the GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation that came out of Eastern Europe. Now, it came out of Europe, not Eastern Europe. EU stands for European Union. So the reality of this is that the name of this podcast, the one that you clicked on, is the 10 ways that security matters to your lead generation. And so we're going to talk about it from that angle. So I'm hoping that you'll understand how to protect your website. I'm hoping that you'll understand what the regulation's about and that we'll be able to sort of move forward. This can be a great reference for you, though, if you have an online website. So if you're trying to figure out, should I listen to this or should I not? If you're a business owner and you have a website that collects data of any kind, email addresses count. So any data, does it have Google Analytics on it? Then, and if you have a WordPress website, so maybe you're not a business owner, but you have a blog, it's a WordPress blog, you should listen to this episode. Everybody else, if you're not online, if you don't have a business, you can skip on to the next episode. Okay, now that we've done that, we're going to talk about the GDPR. And so what does that mean? Basically, it's like the biggest shift since the Can-Spam Act. Now, when the Can-Spam Act came out, it's one of those things where immediately everyone had to put addresses associated with the email accounts, and they wanted valid email addresses for sort of business emails, and it was supposed to help curb spam. Now, it didn't do anything because I still get a mountain of spam, but it made some of the spam something to where you could potentially seek some sort of legal action against it. And that's really what the GDPR really is that it basically the simplest thing is that it says that if you collect data, you have two responsibilities. And this is all data. So if you are collecting any data, email address, name, IP address, any of that, if you're collecting data, so like if you use Google Analytics and you collect data, right? All right. So if you collect any data that belongs to someone in the European Union, and hold on a second before I get there. It's basically saying, "Well, I have a U.S.-based business." Yeah, me too. So why do I care? Well, you care because what if someone from the European Union stumbles on your website, puts their email address in there? Okay, that's why you care. Or they become a customer. Maybe they're from the European Union and they're on your website. And basically, if you read the wording, it says that basically everybody in the European Union is covered. But even if they're not, they're covered. They don't have to be a citizen to be covered. So basically, anyone is in this. So you need to listen. So if you collect any data, you have a responsibility to do two things: alert the people that you're collecting the data, and protect it. So you have those two things. If you violate those two things, the fine for that is something like 20 million lira or 20 million euros. It's pretty high for that. So, you know, for you and I, that's probably never going to happen. For Google, Facebook, somebody like that, it can change everything. So That's why when you go on websites now, you're going to see these pop-ups that says, hey, we collect cookies. And, you know, for your better experience, we track your email. We want to market to you. So you're going to see updated privacy statements. You're going to see all kinds of this all over the internet. And it's an effort to comply with the GDPR, basically trying to give you additional notice. It's not enough that if I give you my email, then I'm going to assume that means you're going to start sending me emails, or that you're going to, you might share the email, whatever. Like that, it's not enough to think that may be one of the reasons why you're like, if you're Facebook, I'm giving you all this information and I'm so shocked that you use that for profit. Oh my goodness. So that's basically what it is new notifications and making sure that before you ever do anything, you know I'm collecting the information. And then the hard part, which I think is more important to us, is protect it. Now, one study says that 80%, that's 80%, so the vast majority of all WordPress websites in Europe are hackable, meaning that there's known exploits. There's basically that's a surprise that, you know, there's no surprise why some of the bigger businesses don't want to put their company on WordPress. WordPress is a great content management system. It's one of the ones that's used by almost, I think, 50 or 60% of the world right now. And the biggest problem is that people don't maintain them, and so they leave themselves open. I know this for basically most of my clients are some form or fashion are open to these attacks. So we're going to talk about 10 ways to sort of protect your business, protect your information, protect your data, and ultimately to be more compliant with what Google or with what GDPR is. And let's just also put it in perspective. If you're listening to this, you're like, oh, this is really, really boring. I'm driving and I can't fast forward it or whatever. The reality of it is that this is going to impact you even if the stuff that matter to you, because Google's going to implement it. Facebook's going to implement it. LinkedIn will implement it. So all of the big players everywhere that your business is going to be or wants to be is going to have to implement this, meaning you're going to have to sign terms of services that says you're going to comply with these things, right? Or you could potentially lose that account, we'll say. So why security matters, it's important for you, all right? So the first one, one of the first ways that people can get in is through these, what is called a brute force attack. Now, this is all my security, information security friends. I guess you're probably not listening to this podcast, but I have a good number of friends in that industry, and this is probably one of the more common techniques of breaking into a site. And basically, a brute force attack is like the ones you've seen on the movies. It just kind of spits out a bunch of numbers. You know, you see this on, I remember all the way back in the day when Terminator 2 came out, the kid was using basically a brute force technique against the ATM, and basically it was generating a lot of different passwords over and over and over again to so ultimately find the one that works. And so that's what happens on a site. Now, most sites, if they're up to date, actually have this built in. So on WordPress, they've got Jetpack has an automatic, it stops the brute force technique. The SEO plugin, All-in-One SEO, has a brute force block. If you use a CDN like Cloudflare, it already has a brute force stop or protection. All-in-One WordPress Security, WP Security, has a brute force security in it. WordFence and Sucuri, I actually didn't look to see if they have these, but I assume that they also have this brute force thing. So that's an easy way, you know, you can install that. It's an easy way that someone's attempting over and over and over again. That's a great way to stop it. You've seen this in your bank, whereas if you get the password wrong, they lock you out of the account, or there's a delay, because a lot of these tools are automated. And so the thought process is that if I can't log in after 5 attempts, then I need to wait 30 minutes before I can make another attempt, and so on and so on. So that really, really helps stop that one particular technique. Another way to stop that is with two-step authentication. And this is the most annoying security protocol that I've ever seen. But it, in some cases, it's absolutely necessary. This is where when you you log in, you're like, all right, I've logged in. I've got my email on there, and I've got my super duper password, and hopefully it's not password. And now it wants to text me something. Okay, so this is the two-step authentication. Basically, you do something to log in, and then it's sending you some other message on some other form of communication to verify if it's you. Now, word to the wise, to avoid any sort of identity theft, it might make sense to make this, you know, your personal cell where no one has a cell number, or if you were to lose your cell number, that you had some other form of security, maybe an email address that's not associated with your phone. So what I would recommend is doing that for things like bank accounts, for if you are a cryptocurrency fan and you have a wallet, you may want a separate email that has, you know, that kind of information, probably not in it, but that you would log into things with that other email address and it's not connected to your phone, so that should you ever lose your phone, someone could not log in to that email and so forth. So that's another important thing. But two-step authentication, you can actually implement this on a WordPress site, and that you could basically, you know, it'd require you to text you a code or something like that. So the other thing is when I talked about the brute force thing, is you can change the URL. So most people can log in on WordPress with wp-login or wp-admin, and I know that sounded so boring, but you can change the login, make it a little tougher for the web crawlers to find it. So there's that. Something else that you can do to help improve the security of your site is what's called an SSL certificate, basically changing your HTTP to HTTPS. This is huge. Google will now penalize your site if it's not. What I mean by that is when I say penalize, is all I'm saying is that all things being equal, let's say you have a great site, but it's not HTTPS, and there's another site that's pretty good, not as good as yours, but it's your site is HTTP and the other site is HTTPS. That site could rank higher than yours if the content is just like a little bit less than yours. So it's a big factor. It's going to become a bigger factor as the years go on. You need to have a secure site. This is particularly important. HTTPS is particularly important if you have any forms on your website. I looked at a client's website the other day, and there was already warnings all over the place. In fact, I couldn't even get to it because Google says it was unsafe. And why? Because on their site, they have a search bar that is front and center of their site. And that search bar is in a form, and that form was picked up by Google. And Google says, look, you have a form and you have an unsecured site, therefore it is unsafe. And so I don't know how much traffic this client is losing because of this, but you can best believe that is one of the first things we're going to do is turn that site HTTPS as soon as possible. Another thing you need to do is back up your database. There's several great tools for this. I use Updraft. Again, we're talking about WordPress site stuff. Updraft is a great little plugin. They'll back up your database, your plugins, your themes, and you can back them all up to your Google Drive account. And basically what happens is if you get hacked or you discover you get hacked, you can go back to your backup files and sort of restore your site so that the damage is done, but it's not done, so it's not unrecoverable to the point. And WordPress sites are notorious for this. In particular, one of the ways is what's called an SQL or SQL injection, and that's where the hacker basically injects some code into your database, which then ends up being displayed or ends up being executed by your WordPress site. So just be aware of that. You need to back it up because this is a dangerous world we're in, and so you need to do that. That one of the easiest ways to do this is to update your plugins. Yeah. The biggest reason people leave their sites and the biggest, easiest targets to hack are the sites that are not updated. So these plugins, they get updated all the time. And what a lot of times people do is they install these plugins They get busy, you know, their business is busy, and they forget to update their plugins because life's busy. So they're not touching their website. Website's working. Why would I touch it? And so these plugins just get unupdated. And what happens is that a lot of these updates, some of these are security updates. Now, in one case, someone used the update to actually insert a virus into thousands of people's websites. But for the most part, 99.99999% of the time, when someone updates it, it's to fix a bug or fix an exploit in the plugin. And so it's definitely useful to go ahead and update that. And that is, like I said, that is the reason for, I forget what the number is, but it's definitely in that sort of 40% range of what the exploits in WordPress are directly related to unupdated plugins. And then the rest of them are particularly like these free themes or low use plugins or just really, really poor security measures. So like using password as your password, or using the default admin as your user admin. You should change that. You know, you should create different things. So some other things that we can do to do that. So some great WordPress plugins for you are, I mentioned it, Sucuri. That's S-U-C-U-R-I. I'm probably mispronouncing that. That's also All-in-One WP Security is another good one. WordFence is great. I also recommend using a CDN, which is a content delivery network, like Cloudflare. Cloudflare is free. It can actually help you solve your HTTPS problem, as well as some of the security protocols of protecting the data. So protecting yourself from hackers, therefore protecting yourself from, by being more compliant with this GDPR. Some other things that you might want to do is consider doing a cookie disclosure pop-up or a cookie disclosure on the site just so they can see it. I would only do this if you're using, you're selling the information, you're using cookies in a way that might be more aggressive than simply, so let's just put it this way. If you know you're using cookies and you're doing different things with them, you probably should put a disclosure. If I'm talking about cookies and you're like, what is he talking about? I am thinking about Snickerdoodles right now. Like, that's typically the cookie that I like. Then that's probably not you. You probably don't need a notice. If you're just a super compliant person, then go ahead and look at maybe putting a notice. One thing you should do is update your privacy policy. Make sure that you have it. If you don't have one on the site, get one. They have a plugin for that as well that will just give you a sort of generic privacy policy that says, hey, look, I'm not going to sell this information to anyone. I'm collecting it for my business. And any similarities between, your bad things that are happening in your life and the fact that I collected this information, they have nothing to do with each other. All right. So that's what the privacy policy should say. So, thing you need to do, though, is look at your CRM, look at things that are connected to your website, and just take a look at the data. Is there any private data that you have of someone that maybe you shouldn't? Example would be is that if you've had the site for, say, 10 years, you might have some social security numbers in someone's in the database, especially if you use something like Woo Themes, the shopping cart mechanism for WordPress. Then you might have information like that, who knows, about people. You might have their bank information. You might have some other kinds of personal information. A good rule of thumb is to delete the information you don't need once you know you don't need the information anymore, delete it. There's never going to come a time. I mean, there may become a time where you're like a hoarder, right? The hoarders say, well, who knows, I might need that one day. Yeah, but the risk of your data being exploited because you've got a list of customers and you got all their social security numbers, you got all their credit card information, and it's not encrypted at all, and you've got all this, the risk of losing that is far greater than you deleting it and have to ask them again. So go ahead and do that. Go ahead and delete all of the information from the customers that you don't need as a general practice if you want to stay compliant. And chances are, if you're in any industry that requires a license, if you're in any industry that connects with Google, This is just going to be mandatory. Even now, there are businesses, I heard of a business over the weekend going through and deleting like social security numbers and things like that from people, from employees. This database isn't connected to the internet. It's internal, but it's connected to a bunch of people. And so just to be in compliance, that's what they're going to do. So you got your cookie disclosure, you got your privacy remarks, you've got your terms of service. Again, these are all things that you can do with a plugin, except for the deleting the client information. And then then you are ready for the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. You're kind of ready for that, but you're also ready for Google's changes that are going to adapt to this new regulation. So that's it. And that's basically it in a nutshell, is that you need to protect the data that you collect. And that's all they're asking you to do. And so there's a bunch of different ways to do that. So that's what we covered today. So I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little bit exhausted because this isn't the exciting lead generation stuff I want to talk about. And next week, we're going to talk about how the mobile first index that Google's doing is going to affect your business in basically five ways to prepare for the mobile first index. Now, reality is it's already here. So five ways to actually sort of deliver on the mobile first index. We're going to be talking about that. I don't know if I've got five or six or seven ways. We'll talk about that next week. We're going to talk about what you need to do to your site so that you can be found on Google. So these topics, this GDPR and the mobile first index, they would fall in the category of SEO, which is search engine optimization. This stuff often gets overlooked. Most people, in fact, I get calls every day. I got a call the other day from a client, for a potential client, and he says, well, look, Josh, I already know about keywords and keyword stuffing and getting backlinks. I'm on Fiverr. And luckily, we were on the phone, so he couldn't see me roll my eyes. But the reality of it is that a lot of what true search engine optimizers do are more technical, right? We can write the content, we can optimize it for keywords and target a particular phrase or keyword phrase. That's all fine and dandy. That's great. That's actually really low level work relative to sort of understanding how to make sure that your site doesn't get de-indexed because it's not mobile first or doesn't get pushed down. Like understanding why the thing works is really where SEOs make their money. So that's what we're going to talk about next week, trying to encourage you to listen in on how we talk about how to optimize for the mobile first index, which is already out right now, and hopefully be talking about some ways that you can do this on your own without having to completely redesign your website. Just like today, a lot of these solutions are available over WordPress. If you're on another platform, let's say you're on Webflow or Wix or anything like that, then the security of your site is sort of indirectly related to the parent company. So you need to ask them, what are they doing to have these protocols in place? Chances are, if you're a small business, they're doing more than you ever would be able to do anyway. So just be cool with that. So on that note, if you like our podcast, if you like the Ford Marketing Podcast, you have suggestions on topics I should cover, you have suggestions for guests, or just a comment or a critique, you can email me at joshua@fordmarketing.com. That's the number 4. rdmarketing.com. I look forward to your comments. And again, the greatest compliment you can give me is by rating me on iTunes and subscribing there. So thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next week.